Welcome to the Truth Provided Broadcast, a remnant awareness program dedicated to revealing prophetic fulfillments of Antichrist as they are realized in historic as well as current events we see coming from the Vatican as well as other related sources. In this, our first broadcast on FirstAmendmentRadio.com, I would like to share with you some facts regarding the Vatican's involvement in the New World Order. You can access far more information on the website at www.remnantofgod.org. But before moving on, I would like to make it clear as to the prophetic importance of the Vatican itself. This is information that needs to be known before I get into today's topic. You'll understand why later. For those of you that would like to call in, I hope to have time to accept your calls in the second half of the show. You can call 1-800-858-6582. If you're using dial-up to listen to the show and can't call in, you can go to www.remnantofgod.org, click on the silver microphone on the right side of the screen, follow the prompts, and enter the public chat room. If time permits, I will be fielding questions from that chat room. Now, most Christians realize that no prophecy is of any private interpretation, as 2 Peter 1:20 makes so perfectly clear. But were you also aware that Revelation has 404 verses in it? And out of those 404 verses, 278 of them are found almost word for word in all the other books of the Bible. It's kind of an easy way to figure out who the false prophets are. That means all the symbols in prophecy have already been defined for us in the Word of God. Now, with that said, what does the Word of God have to say about four quick prophecies? There are a lot more than four, prophecies on the Antichrist alone, of course, but for the sake of time and illustration, I will merely mention four of these. These are the four easiest to understand and illustrate, too, by the way. Revelation 17 describes the house of Antichrist as being a woman sitting on a beast with seven heads. So what does the Bible say these symbols in prophecy actually mean? Well, in prophecy, if you look in Jeremiah 6:2, it states that a woman equals a church. We all understand the term the bride of Christ. Beast equals a nation. You'll find that in Daniel chapter 7, particularly verses 17 and verse 23. And then the seven heads equals seven hills. See Revelation 17:9. The angel actually tells John during the vision what those seven heads represent. There is only one place on earth that is a church and a nation at the same time, the Vatican. Plus, this church and state entity also sits on seven hills. In fact, Rome is called the city on seven hills in the Catholic Encyclopedia on page 529. But what is the fourth prophecy? Revelation 13, verses 17 and 18 both declare that Antichrist will control a man that has a name that will equal 666. Now, were you aware that the name Vicarius Filii Dei is the official Latin title of all the popes, which means vicar of the Son of God in English? And by the way, that word vicar means replacement. So it actually means the replacement of the Son of God in English. Now, were you also aware that in Latin, or actually Latin itself, is not only the Roman language and alphabet, it's their numeric system as well. We all know about Roman numerals, do we not? I mean, like the letter I means number one. The letter V, of course, means five. The letter C is the old-fashioned term, the C note, which means 100. So, spell the name Vicarius Filii Dei, and now add it up. That's right, it equals 666. And by the way, on remnantofgod.org, I have a page called The Pope and 666. It's in the Catholicism Exposed section. I have over, 12 or 13 different titles that the popes carry that all equal, individually, 666 each. And it doesn't end there, but for the sake of illustration, we can more or less go from that point on. On my site, I have over 2,600 pages of facts proving all of this, including a list of all the prophecies of Antichrist. So one more thing before moving on, though. Please understand, I am not called to attack the Catholic people. I was Catholic 29 years. I was a Eucharistic minister. I went to Mass every morning the last couple of years I was a Catholic. I taught CCD. And I even said the rosary every day. Prophecy directly identifies the popes of Roman Catholicism as Antichrist and not the individual Catholics therein. There are many sincere children of the Almighty Creator in all the churches, including the Church of Rome. The prophecies are merely a collection of judgments, corrections, and revelations exposing this massive anti-Christian organization which has openly embraced paganism. Of course, there are many prophecies in the scriptures that point out errors, demonic doctrines, traditions of men, etc., in all religions, Christian and non-Christian alike. The fact of the matter remains that the elect of the Lord, no matter what church they are standing in at that time, will always accept correction from their loving Heavenly Father and do, as Revelation 18, verses 1 to 4 declares, they'll come out of those churches. They will not turn a deaf ear or a blind eye or a cold heart to the truth provided in His holy word when it is made known unto them. It is for these children, the past, present, and future members of the remnant of God, that I proclaim this three angels' message of Revelation. In this broadcast, I hope to share with you as much evidence as possible to do that I can in 1 hour, that the Vatican is indeed seeking a global government or a new world order, as some top politicians or corporate elite or even the world's wealthiest movers and shakers are referring to it as. Ex-Jesuit priest Alberto Rivera states, the main underlying Roman Catholic person or purpose is to infiltrate and penetrate all the areas of life where the Roman Catholic Church can have control with excess in a one-world government. This has been in preparation, especially since the formation of the Jesuit order in 1541, to infiltrate absolutely every area of society so as to take over the world politically and religiously. The two main doctrines of Catholicism that define this are the doctrine of apostolic succession, which is actually the papacy, and the doctrine of temporal power, which is secular government. The office of Pope illustrates this easily. The Pope is the head of a church as well as the head of a state. This isn't a new thing, by the way. The present thrust for political unity is not unique by any means. By invasion, men such as Charlemagne or Napoleon or Kaiser Wilhelm or even Hitler have tried to unite Europe as well as the world. Human efforts to unite Europe have consistently failed all throughout history since the fall of Rome. And this is as prophecy declared it should be and will be. However, a new effort is being made to unite Europe by appealing to the almighty dollar, as well as a luxury of convenience. It seems it's much easier to conquer by consent rather than conquest. There is no doubt that the architects of the European Economic Community, or Common Market, have goals that are just coming to light. The EEC had its beginnings in 1957. The initial gathering in the City Hall of Rome itself was signed, sealed, and delivered by what is known as the Treaty of Rome. Initially, six nations were signatories to this treaty: West Germany, France, Italy, Holland, Belgium, and Luxembourg. Later, six more nations have joined: Great Britain, the Irish Republic, Spain, Portugal, Denmark, and Greece. Together, these nations represent an economic landscape that far exceeds that of the United States of America, and the Pope knows this. The Pope is about to quietly do, or peacefully do, what most men through time have been unable to do by force. The Roman Catholic Vatican nation, or beast as Daniel and Revelation refer to it as, must have global power so as to enforce its prophetic mark upon the small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. The global government idea is as old as life itself. This has always been the case with the God of this world. So it is no surprise that in our day and age, we too must contend with the likes of Roman rule. On February 17th, 1950, banker Paul Warburg stated before the U.S. Senate, and by the way, he said this a mere 7 years prior to the formation of the EEC, that we will have a world government whether you like it or not. The only question is whether the government will be achieved by conquest or consent. Is it any wonder a banker would say such words? Where's the connection, you might ask? Well, Revelation 13:17 says plainly that the global power, which most Christians refer to as Antichrist, will put forth laws that state no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Buying and selling is a very important aspect of the banking industry. They are literally the ones holding the reins on this one. And in my June 6, 1999, Truth-provided newsletter on the website, I shared a partial list of all the attendees of the Bilderbergers global meeting that was held in Portugal on June 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th of that year. The list I had in that newsletter was huge, regardless of the fact that it was just a partial list. I mean, can you guess what they're up to? Did you see who was on the list? When you get a chance, I implore you to go check that list out. It appears every base is covered. You know, besides the obvious heads of state from all over the world that attended the global meeting, absolutely every single CEO of every major company, college, or banking institution was present at that meeting. What are these movers and shakers doing in a global meeting like this? By the way, when you check it out, notice there was one more present at that meeting that just plain didn't seem to fit in. Unless, of course, you understand prophecy. That's right, the Pope himself was at that meeting. Was the Pope there to assure his global desires are understood? Well, indeed. Look at the names on that partial list when you get time. Look at some of the companies that were present at the meeting. It appears our daily lives were discussed. Every aspect of our daily lives, in fact. Anything you can think of to purchase, you know, from a pack of gum to a house, was on the table that day. It also appears our everyday lives are about to be altered in a way that can only confirm the mark of the beast is about to be enforced. Why else would all these companies be, all of them, I'm not saying just a large amount of them, but every single one that has anything to do with any kind of buying and selling, were there. So think about it. The Bible says you will not be able to buy and sell without the mark of the beast. And just as prophecy predicted, they are making plans to control buying and selling on every level, and the prophesied beast is not only involved, he's running the show. A cashless society is already on the near horizon. Most of us are already using credit cards on a regular basis, and many of us pay all our bills online. Fact is, nowadays, I very seldom see actual cash in my hand itself. The demon of convenience has made this all but a fact of life for most of us today. Convenience, or the fast food theology of modern man, has all but taken over. For most of us that have watched the political movements of Europe, this is a reality we have seen blossom over the last few decades. You can now travel from one country to another without the inconvenience of displaying passports, exchanging currency, or worrying about laws that may differ from country to country. All this is, in fact, a testing grounds for a new world order, or as prophecy describes it, a one-world government controlled by Rome. And as usual, the Vatican has afforded us, once again, yet another confirmation that Bible prophecy is indeed 100% accurate regarding the desire to do all that Antichrist will do. Headline: Pope calls for a new world order. Vatican City Associated Press reporting. Pope John Paul II rang in the new year on Thursday with a renewed call for peace in the Middle East and Africa and the creation of a new world order based on respect for the dignity of man and equality among nations. John Paul presided over a morning mass inside St. Peter's Basilica to mark the World Day of Peace, which Roman Catholic Church celebrates every January 1st. He appeared in good form, delivering his entire homily in a strong and clear voice despite a relatively tiring holiday schedule. This year, John Paul directed his thoughts to continuing conflicts around the globe, but he stressed that to bring about peace, there needs to be a new respect for international law and the creation of a new international order based on the goals of the United Nations. Let me stop here for a minute. Is this the same United Nations that has been peppering its comments over the years that peace can only be realized by a complete agreement or alliance with the Vatican? And is this the same United Nations that has established in December of 2003 that men armed only with words can commit genocide? Is it any wonder this so-called Christian leader wants an international new world order that is based on the anti-Christian morals of the United Nations? And we as Christians are supposed to be okay with this. Getting back to the article, it states, he called for an order that is able to give adequate solutions to today's problems based on the dignity of the human being, on an integral development of society, on solidarity among nations rich and poor, on the sharing of resources and extraordinary results of scientific and technological progress. Did you catch that? The Pope, the supposed leader of all Christendom, as the media calls him, doesn't say a single thing about Christian principles or morals as being something we should be concerned with when creating this new world order. It should be based on the dignity of the human being. That is important to the Vatican. That is no different than the serpent enticing Eve with the desires of the human flesh being over and above the will of the Creator God when he started flashing that fruit in her face. The article closes by stating, earlier this month, John Paul issued a formal document making the World Day of Peace in which he called for a reform of the United Nations and international law to deal with the evolving threat of terrorism. Well, there you have it. The Hitler-inspired, fabricated paranoia of the dreaded terrorist threat. It's a card that is being played by Rome, the USA, and many other nations lately. And it's going to get worse. You know, a few months ago, friend of the ministry, informed me that he was talking to a little old Jewish woman who had survived Hitler's partnership with the Vatican. Most refer to that partnership as the Holocaust. She informed me, or him rather, that what she saw happening just before Hitler took over and made martial law the norm in her country was in fact the exact same thing she sees happening in the USA since 9/11 and even before. She said all this talk about homeland security is exactly what Hitler used to get his agenda accepted. And then suddenly, one day you woke up and just that fast, it went from the free nation to martial law. And just like back then, Rome is behind the whole ball of confusion. We all know Rome's connection with Hitler. You know, we're all aware Hitler was a Roman Catholic. Rome wants this one world government badly, and according to prophecy, it will happen. And just as Rome has always done in the past, she will get someone else to do her dirty work so as that she can still stand up in the front as the moral authority on earth. Now, I'm not going to get into a long dissertation as to what I have researched and believe regarding some of these terrorist attacks on U.S. soil. But suffice it to say, look around and see for yourselves who is benefiting by them. Do you see any terrorist leaders being blessed by these acts of terror? No, you don't, do you? I mean, they're not taking over any countries. They aren't becoming rich and famous. They're not even getting much of anything, are they? I mean, seriously, look at what Saddam Hussein was blessed with for all his troubles. A hole in the ground no bigger than a grave. Yeah, I know. Some will say that the people they have brainwashed into doing these crazy acts seek special rewards in the afterlife. Well, this does appear to be the mindset of some of these that are controlled enough to take such a leap of faith as this. Well, we all know the United States government is capable of creating drones as well that will do just about the same kind of evil acts. Why not other nations? Yet, the Saddams and the Osamas out there don't seem to be blessed by any of this. But do you see the government being blessed? Yes, you do. All sorts of new laws are now being granted, and not only Big Brother with all sorts of new powers, but money is funneling in from all over the place. And do you see Rome being overly blessed by this as well? Well, if you don't, there's a wonderful blindness upon you. Do you recall how the U.S. government placed a gag order on all those molestation lawsuits? So many are recurring that it has been decided that unless a conviction or a settlement has been realized, no one is to speak of them in the media. Why? Well, think of how many of the Catholic faithful will leave their church when they get a glimpse of just how bad it is. I mean, Catholics aren't stupid. When they get a realization of what's going down, they're going to leave. Or what are the lawsuits dealing with the Eustace situation and Rome's direct involvement in that modern-day mass murder? I got a page on my website just dedicated to that at remnantofgod.org about the lawsuit dealing with you can actually contact the lawyers that are running this lawsuit. Their phone numbers and everything are right there, talking about how there's this, for example, in this one situation, a Roman Catholic priest, they were trying to figure out the cheapest way to kill people. They didn't want to use bullets because they're expensive, or gas or any of this other stuff. This one Roman Catholic priest won the contest that they were holding to see who can kill the most by bludgeoning or cutting 1,500 men, women, and children one night. This is all in the court dockets. So, keep that in mind. Why is it that never spoken of in the media? Rome is what some will define as the ultimate definition of big government. They have their government offices in absolutely every state in the Union and city. Even the little tiny 600 population little cities, little towns. Yeah, they have their men running these offices as well. Now, I know they call them churches, but soon you will see how those churches will start to be used as government entities. I mean, come on, Rome is not just a church. I was Roman Catholic, and I remember when I was a child in Catholic parochial school, they told me that I was not only a citizen of the United States of America, I was also a citizen of Rome because I was a Catholic. And if I recall correctly, I reported in one of my newsletters that in the state of New York, there's a Catholic church that passes out food stamps or something to that effect. And if you know of the article I'm talking about, send me an email. It's from the website, remnantofgod.org, because I'd like to use that in the future again. Or I can dig it up myself, of course. But anyway, we all understand that the United Nations seems to be the major player of this new world order, but were you also aware that the Pope himself is the only religious leader with a speakable as well as a votable presence in the United Nations? Harvard University graduate Charles Malik, former President, General Assembly of the United Nations and Ambassador to the U.S. from Lebanon, once said this. He said, "The only hope for the Western world is an alliance between the Roman Catholic Church, which is the most commonly influential, controlling, unifying element in Europe and the Western Orthodox Church. The only hope for the Western world lies in a united Europe under the control of the Pope. This is the former president of the United Nations Assembly speaking here. And keep in mind, Europe is and always has been the New World Order testing grounds. They have designed it in such a way that what they are creating will work globally. Numerous nations are involved in this with 100% agreement, and they are all in one accord with allowing the Vatican controlling and governing abilities. Some may think that the USA is the one seeking global governing power, but prophecy doesn't say that this is what will be. It says the USA, which is the lamb-horned beast, will become the one that gives power onto the Vatican beast, kind of like a global police force. We have that ability now. Our military is second to none. In fact, we are already playing the part of the global police. I have a rather extensive scriptural as well as historical study on my USA and Prophecy page on the website about this. History already has already proven what comes when the Vatican has full power. When her woman on a beast status came to be in 538 AD, history records the greatest period of mass killings by one entity ever recorded by man. Over the course of the next 1,260 years, the Vatican saw fit to kill upwards of 150 million followers of Christ because they wouldn't give up the true Jesus of the Bible for the fabricated Jesus of Rome. That's 16 times more than Hitler. This is, of course, not counting the three complete nations of the Vandals, the Heruli, and the Ostrogoths that were annihilated so that the Vatican could become a religio-political power in 538 AD. Those are that three horns that Daniel saw uprooted when that little horn popped up, which was the Vatican. And now we see the following pieces of the puzzle being put in place. As of 1999, we see the Roman International Criminal Court system that all nations must bow to. In my March 18, 2001, Truth-Provided newsletter, I reported in detail about this Vatican-controlled global court. I will share just one article from that newsletter to give you an idea of the severity of this situation and this court system. Headline, National Issue, One Court for All the World? A United Nations meeting is wrapping up five weeks of work on a proposed international criminal court. The new court would have worldwide jurisdiction and could investigate, indict, hold, try, and punish those who committed certain crimes. The proposed international criminal court would subject Americans to a new world authority. We're talking about creating here something that exercises genuine power, real put-people-in-jail power. But that is responsible to no one but itself, said Lee Casey, a constitutional lawyer with the Washington firm of Hunton and Williams. That's out of the investment business daily, Thursday, July 16, 1998. The article refers to certain crimes. Common knowledge does declare that the Roman International Criminal Court is indeed set up mostly for a war crimes tribunal at present, but the fact of the matter is that they are leaving the door wide open with such a wording as this. Would certain crimes entail that which Roman Catholic Bishop of St. Louis alluded to some years back? In Joshua Strong's book, Our Country, in Chapter 5, I believe it's pages 2 to 4, he stated, the Archbishop of St. Louis said, heresy and unbelief are crimes, and in Christian countries, as in Italy and Spain, for instance, where all people are Catholics, and where the Catholic religion is an essential part of the law of the land, they are punished as crimes. Every cardinal, archbishop, and bishop in the Catholic Church takes an oath of allegiance to the Pope, in which occur the following words, heretics, schismatics, and rebels to our said Lord, the Pope, or his aforesaid successors, I will to my utmost persecute and oppose. And to further convince the scoffer that this is a reality soon to come, let me share with you the fact that I like to repeat from time to time in my truth-provided newsletters, which, by the way, you can sign up for on the website. Holy Office Still Exists is the headline. Pope John Paul II revives the Inquisition. This is on the NRI Trumpet, page 3, February of 1991. It says this, the thought of a revived Holy Office of the Inquisition would pacify some and offend others. Nevertheless, the Holy Office still exists. Only its name has been changed. Pope John Paul II has been instrumental in its revival. One may argue that this Ratzinger-run agency, that's Cardinal Ratzinger-run agency, is merely an attempt by the Catholic Church to root out communism or backslidden priests and their practices. However, with John Paul II's objective to implement God's mandate by creating a global church and state which will administer from traditional Roman Catholic theology is enough cause for alarm. Malachi Martin has already stated in his book, that's Jesuit priest Malachi Martin, The Keys of This Blood, this book he wrote, that the Pope will not tolerate any belief system that opposes his, not on a civil or a church level. In John Paul II, the world will behold a tyrant who will coldly execute direct orders against those who he deems are heretics or immoral. Moreover, like his papal predecessors, John Paul II will carry out his godly mandate in the name of Christ, or perhaps Mary. May God help us all. Now, compile that with the Bilderberger meeting of June in 1999 in Portugal, the Roman International Criminal Court, which entered into force July 1st, 2002. You can actually check it out at www.un.org/law/ICC for International Criminal Court. The Euro dollar. You can also compile this with the Euro dollar that has the Pope's image stamped on it, the complete control of the continent of Europe, and the One World Church that officially began on June 26, 2000 with the Pope as the elected leader. He was actually chosen the elected leader in 1999. And you have the makings of a power that has absolute control in all aspects of life, from the church to the courts. I recall when I shared a few points from Jesuit priest Malachi Martin's book, The Keys of This Blood, that some felt it was all too outrageous to come to an existence, as he stated, was the Vatican's grand design. I see now he knew exactly what the Vatican was talking about. In his book, The Keys of This Blood, on page 49, he says, the Pope is determined to be a ruler as was Constantine in his day. Or he is protected by four governments, it says on page 120. Or he is the best known person of the 20th century, it says on page 123. He has personal friends with leaders of 91 countries, page 490, well, that's 134 countries now. People of the world seem to him ready for strong, worldwide, moral government with control. That was on page 160. And on page 490, it says 16,000 journalists covered his American visit. Now look around in today's world. Crime is running rampant like never before. Wars are a fact of life. Crooked government leaders, cults are all over the place, all sorts of diseases killing countless numbers daily, natural disasters are shaking, baking, and blowing all sorts of real estate to ruins, banks are folding, big corporations are going belly up for a multitude of illicit reasons. The thoughts of men the world over are evil continually. After the break, I got a few more things I'd like to share with you in regards to this, and if we have time, we'll open up the phones. That's 1-800-858-6582. Welcome back. You're listening to the Truth Provided broadcast. The phone lines will be open in a few minutes. The phone number is 1-800-858-6582. Stop by the website. It's www.remnantofgod.org. Over 2,600 pages of documented research for your evangelistic crusades. And on the website, if you go to the website, you see a you will see a silver microphone on the right side. And if you click that, follow the prompts, you'll enter into the BOGM audio chat rooms, go into the public room, and if you have any questions and you're on dial-up and you can't call in right now, you can do that from the chat room if you like. But the phone lines will be open in a few minutes, 1-800-858-6582. Now, getting back, if we look around in today's society, we see that crime is running rampant like never before. Wars are a fact of life. Crooked government leaders, cults are all over the place, and all sorts of disease is killing millions of people in our generation alone, if not billions. Natural disasters are shaking and baking and blowing everything all to pieces. Banks are folding. Big corporations are going belly up for a multitude of illicit reasons, and the thoughts of men the world over are evil continually, just like Jesus said it would be, like in the days of Noah. Like never before, we see prophecy being fulfilled almost daily now. People are taking drugs legally and illegally to help them cope in unnatural ways with all this turmoil. And now we see the Pope standing up as the moral authority, proclaiming that the only way out of all this mess is to come together under his wing in a new world order. And just what is the Pope's idea of a perfect new world order? Listen to a few quotes I have here. They're kind of old, but there's a reason they're old. There are some newer quotes, of course, but there's a reason for this. In Bronson's review, it states that democracy is a mischievous dream where the Catholic Church does not predominate. The old Protestant culture is about at the end of its rope. Why can't we make the U.S. Catholic in legislation, Catholic in justice, aims and ideals? A priest by the name of F.X. Talbot, editor of America, official Jesuit magazine for the United States, made that statement in the New York Globe, December 14, 1930. And by the way, that's only 1 year after the prophesied Lateran Treaty was signed between Mussolini and Gaspari in the Vatican Palace. Out of the Catholic World, October 1935, on page 66, it says, "Some dwell on the vastly increased tolerance shown in this country now to Catholics and Catholic thugs. It betokens a decay of Protestantism." The Catholic World, again, of April 1935, page 12, says, "The Catholic Church is, in this nation, must live on to accomplish her work, even though our republic form of government disappears." And again, the same Catholic World, October 1937, says there is one and only one sure democracy, the Catholicism of the popes. Time Magazine, August 5, 1955, Cardinal Stritch of Chicago said, "It is no longer being said that today the United States of America is a Protestant country." Bishop O'Connor of Pittsburgh said, religious liberty is merely endured until the opposite can be carried into effect without peril to the Catholic Church. In other words, there is religious liberty, but only if you're Catholic. It's like that in Europe right now. If Catholics, this quote's from the Shepherd of the Valley Journal of the late Bishop St. Louis, Bishop of St. Louis, in the book Confusion Twice Confounded, he says, "If Catholics ever gain sufficient numerical majority in this country, religious freedom is at an end. So our enemies say, so we believe." Monsignor Joseph H. Brady states that the U.S. Supreme Court is wrong in its decisions regarding separation of church and state. In other words, Christ is wrong too, according to that. But getting back, he says, "A sound view of the Constitution and its relation to religion probably awaits a change in personnel in our highest tribunal." That's out of the Register, January 23, 1955. The encyclical of Pope Leo XIII, he says, "They, the Catholics, must penetrate whenever possible in the administration of civil affairs. All Catholics should do all in their power to cause the constitution of states and legislation to be molded on the principles of the true church." And then finally, out of the book The State and the Church, page 38 and 39, by Miller and Ryer, and it was imprimatured or okayed by Cardinal Hayes, or let it be written by Cardinal Hayes, states, "But constitutions can be changed, and non-Catholic sects may decline to such a point that the political prescription or ban of them may become feasible and expedient. What protection would they have against the Catholic state?" Did you catch that? He said, "What protection would they have against the Catholic state?" He didn't say church. "Soon there will come a day when a global disaster will take place. This will allow for the Catholic Church to do as is planned on doing all along. The U.S. government will help the Roman Catholic Church to enforce her laws as the laws of the land, as is now the case in Europe. They will do all, and they will actually do so as to prevent further disasters, just as prophecy stated the land horned beast would do, thinking they could do that. The problem is the Catholic Church has rewritten the laws of God to further its desires, over and above the desires of God. Daniel saw this day coming long before any of us were born, and the reason I used a few old quotes from many years ago was twofold. It allows us to see that Rome has been busy on this agenda for many, many years, and it verifies the prophecy of Revelation 17:8 concerning the beast that was, is not, and yet is, being 100% accurate. Fact is, this happens to have been realized long ago. In 1888, there was a book written called Washington and the Lamp of Rome. On page 25, it says this. This is written in 1888, by the way. It says, "The actual ruler of this nation lives not in the White House at Washington, but in the Palace of Baltimore. No important editorial affecting the Romish Church is printed until it has been submitted to the Cardinal for his criticism. We wonder at the power exercised. No member of Congress enters Washington, but he is weighed in the Romish balances. If he comes down with the shekels for the Church and with votes for her policy, all is well. If not, there is a reckoning. Time sure to come, and an influence is exerted at once that touches the springs of power in his faraway home. As a political machine, Rome is transcendent, is a transcendent success, and the Jesuit was more than half right when he said, the representative of the Pope in the Vatican is the ruler of the United States of America. Again, that's out of the Washington and the Lap of Rome, page 25, 1888 edition. So, getting back, this verifies the Revelation 17:8 prophecy that states this is the beast that was, is not, yet is. It was 90 years since Napoleon had taken the charge or taken the Vatican out of power when he sent General Berthier in 1798. And it's obvious what the Vatican needed to do after that point to regain control. Directly after the Vatican regained its church and state status in 1929, when Mussolini signed the Lateran Treaty with Cardinal Gasparri, we see her growling across the political landscape with a fervor. Rome had its power. Back long ago, before this, in 538 AD, when Vigilius ascended the papal chair under the military protection of Belisarius, Rome had its power and killed millions of Christians in its first reign. And just as prophecy predicted, it received its mortal wound in 1798 when Napoleon sent in General Berthier to remove the Pope from political power. Of course, Martin Luther had already significantly crippled the Vatican's religious power in the Reformation. Napoleon just finished the job and made it fatal. But prophecy also said in Revelation 13:3 that this beast would get up again with that mortal wound. And then we see in 1929 it did just that, when Mussolini and Gasparri signed the Lateran Treaty, making the Vatican a church of state once again. I have the articles on the website at remnantofgod.org, where from the San Francisco Chronicle and the New York Times both report on this event. The Chronicle actually says, healing wound of many years. They use prophetic language without even realizing it. So there you have it. Revelation 17:8 is revealed. My favorite prophecy. The beast that was, yet the beast that is not, and the beast that yet is. The beast that was from 538 A.D., when Vigilius ascended the papal chair, till 1798 A.D., when Napoleon sent in Berthier. The beast that is not is from 1798 until 1929. He had no power. He was knocked out of commission. The beast that yet is from 1929 to present day. Prophecy also states that all the world wonders after this beast in Rome. Today, more than ever, this is an easy-to-understand reality. Besides the fact that the grand majority of every nation on earth has an ambassador to the Pope, one can see that this Antichrist entity has the uncanny ability to gather the masses. Not only does it sport the largest number of followers on earth, it consistently draws crowds like no political power on earth can do. For example, the President of the United States, in his himself, he's a rather large magnet to the media the world over. We all know this. This is a no-brainer. Whenever the president travels within the states or abroad regarding a major situation, one could see anywhere from 2,000 to 3,000 journalists are going to be right there covering every one of his moves. This is a very impressive event indeed when we see this happening with the president. However, when the Pope made his last visit to the United States of America, he drew over 16,000 journalists. All the world wonders after him. All governments the world over know what they see in the Vatican, a power that can and does have the ability to influence the masses with childlike ease. And every politician knows that if you want to get anywhere in big government, you must meet with the Pope, kiss his ring in an act of worship, and then do as he says. Some pay homage to the Pope behind closed doors, like the USA presidents would do, and some need to make an example out in the open in front of cameras. We all recall the picture of Yasser Arafat bowing before the Pope kissing his ring a few years back. This is indeed a holy war we find ourselves in. Ask yourself, what's the normal procedure for war? The offending nation is first hit with sanctions. Then when the attacking nation realizes they won't comply, they are killed in an act of war. What does prophecy say Antichrist seeks to do in our lifetime? Revelation 13:17 says, and no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. First, they will enforce economic sanctions on those that refuse to comply with the mark of Rome. And when they see the small remnant of the Church of Jesus Christ that still stands firm in the truth, then they will decide that we are worthy of death. Because Revelation 13:15 says, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed.
You have Randy from Kentucky.
Okay, we got a caller on the line. Randy from Kentucky. Hello, and thank you for being here. Hey, how you doing, Randy? Can you turn it up a little bit there, Aaron? I'm just talking to Aaron. All right, go ahead, Randy. I can barely hear you. Seven-year? Is that what you're asking? Yeah. It's hard to hear you. The Left Behind series. Yeah, I have a page on the website at www.remnantofgod.org. It's in the prophecy section called Seven-Year Trib, Fact or Fiction. And, a lot of people don't realize this, that Jesus stated certain prophetic events would happen directly after a great tribulation. Now, I know a lot of eyebrows are going to jump up right now when I say this, but I can prove it using Scripture, and I have the entire study laid out on the site, and I will cover this one day on the radio. But that Great Tribulation has already occurred. But it is a prophecy that will, it's repetitive, if you will, because we are looking at a short time of trouble before the time of Jacob's trouble comes as well in our lifetime. But a seven-year trip, no. That seven-year tribulation is actually a pulling of a prophecy out of chronological order out of the book of Daniel, where you have the week of Daniel, and that week of Daniel happens to be the most beautiful, glorious, it has to be the most awesome prophecy ever, because it speaks of the arrival of Messiah, Jesus Christ. And it speaks of, for example, the angel tells Gabriel when the declaration is put forth that it's okay to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple, then you have 483 years until the arrival of Messiah. And if you count, if you look in history or in the book of Esther chapter 7, you'll find that King Artaxerxes, I believe it was the one that told the children of Israel that it was okay to rebuild. He did that in 457 B.C. Go forward from 457 B.C. and add 483 years to that, you'll come to the year 27 A.D., the very year Jesus Christ puts his foot in the River Jordan to be baptized by John. And then the prophecy continues. It says, in 3.5 years of this arrival of Messiah, he will be cut off. The evening oblation will cease. And he will be cut off, but not for sins of his own. What happened exactly 3.5 years after Christ arrived as Messiah? Exactly 3.5 years after he arrives, he was hung on a cross, but not for sins of his own. And the temple veil ripped in half the moment he died, and the evening oblation ceased. The evening sacrifice ceased. The temple veil was ripped in half. The Shekinah glory was no longer there. Why? Because the temple of God is in us now. We hold the Shekinah glory within us. The law of God used to be inside of the Ark of the Covenant. Now the law of God is written on the fleshly tables of our heart.
Michelle from Florida.
Okay, we have another caller here on the line. Michelle from Florida. How you doing?
Hello.
Oh, hi. How you doing?
I'd just like to have one quick comment. First, I'd like to say God bless whoever let you on here. You're doing a wonderful job.
Thank you. Thank you. And God bless them too, yes.
I'd like to completely agree with everything you're saying. I was going to call and tell you, say something about the prophecy too, from the 538 and 1798. I was going to tell you that you can actually look that up, even at the library in 1929.
Uh-huh.
It says that the wound was healed.
Yep.
In the newspaper. So, the prophecy falls right down, like you said, and it makes perfect sense. So I just wanted to throw that in.
Well, thank you, sister. Thank you so much.
You can actually look that up on even in the library. On an old newspaper, and by 1929, I think it's March, I'm not positive, but it says the wound was healed, and they're talking about the Vatican, how they came back into power. So, I thought I'd throw that in there for you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I,
on.
Excuse me?
I'm enjoying you very God bless you and whoever puts you on there.
Yeah, FirstAmendmentRadio.com. God bless them. I mean, I used to be on the radio in Oregon, and they kicked me off the air.
Oh, no.
Amen. Amen to that.
Everything that you say is true. I've read things in the newspaper. Prophecy has come true. It's in history. I mean, you can read a history book and look at Napoleon coming in marching in.
Yep. In the exact year.
Going in there and take him out. I mean, it's history. I mean, you can look it up. You can look it up in a history book. I mean, it's all there.
It's uncanny how accurate it is, too.
It's very accurate. Everything is very accurate.
I know. It's amazing how accurate it is. Thank you, and keep me in your prayers.
I have to stay on the line because you're just giving me goosebumps, and I just love it to death.
Thank you.
You're good for me, team. You're doing a great job.
Thanks. Praise the Lord. Thank you, sister. You take care. Bye-bye. Yeah, she's perfectly correct. I have those articles on the website, folks, on the... it's in the prophecy section. Well, there's a few areas I have it. I have it in some of my newsletters as well. I have it in the 23 Major Facts of Antichrist. I also have it on the Quick Facts page. And it's actually two articles, like she said. It's the first article is from the San Francisco Chronicle, February 11th, 1929. I actually have a photo next to it of the actual headline where it says, Mussolini and Caspari sign historic Roman pact. And it says, the Roman question tonight was a thing of the past, and the Vatican was at peace with Italy in affixing the autographs to the memorable document, healing the wound of many years. Extreme cordiality was displayed on both sides. I mean, they used the prophetic language there.
White from Michigan.
Okay. We got another caller on the line. Dwight from Michigan. How you doing? Well, look what happened in February of 91. Pope John Paul II reinstituted the Inquisition. I mean, why would he open up that office again if he wasn't planning on using it? You know? It is. Yeah. It is something that we definitely have to check into. You know, that's... I mean, I always think of the prophecy that Jesus made in 24 when he told the children of, his followers back... 40 years before 70 AD, when he said, when you see the abomination of desolation surrounding the holy place, those who are in Judea to flee to the mountains, they had that one prophecy to watch for. And he even said, let the reader take note. In other words, study your prophecies. All they had to do was watch for one. And then when Cestius surrounded the city, the Christians understood what they were looking at. They saw Rome, the abomination of desolation, surrounding the holy place. And then for some strange reason, and to this day, you can ask anybody, any student of prophecy, they can't figure out why he backed off. He just left. And then Titus comes back 3.5 years later, I believe it was, or 2.5 years later, he comes back. But the Christians had already seen this as the sign that Christ foretold 40 years prior, and they left the city. But the people that didn't investigate their prophecy stayed behind. And history records in 70 AD, 1,100,000 men, women, and children died when they burned Jerusalem to the ground. Jesus said, not one stone will be left upon another, didn't he? It's amazing. And the reason not one stone was left... Thank you, Dwight. Now, you too. God bless you, brother. And anyway, the reason not one stone was left upon another, a lot of people don't realize this historic fact. If you look back, you'll see that the temple had gold inlaid in the bricks. So they wanted to get at those bricks. The Roman soldiers wanted to get at those bricks. And so they took that temple apart brick by brick to get at that gold. And that's why not one stone was left upon another. Christ doesn't have to tell you why. He just tells you what's going to happen. And another interesting historic fact a lot of people aren't aware of. You know the city of Pompeii that was covered when that mountain exploded and killed all those people, and we found today that, you know, they were buried underneath all that ash?
Nancy, Indiana.
Okay. When that city was covered, the people, well, of course, there were regular people in Pompeii that were living there, and it was like a homosexual-type resort. If you look at the way the buildings were built, and they had these little vulgar symbols on each doorway. But the fact of the matter is, the men that burned Jerusalem to the ground, historic research reveals that they were visiting in Pompeii on vacation when that mountain blew up. So they're under those ashes as well. Nancy from Indiana is on the line. Welcome to the Truth Provided broadcast. How you doing? Okay, it's www.remnantofgod.org. That's R-E-M like Mary, N like Nancy, A, N like Nancy, T, O-F-G-O-D.org. Remnantofgod.org.
All right, thanks. Okay. I did have one, I don't know, sort of comment or question. I don't know. About 25 years ago, I remember a friend of mine moving out here in the boonies in Indiana. He had been a minister's wife from one of the Reformed churches. Mm-hmm. And I remember her telling everybody about this idea of one world government.
Uh-huh.
And how the Catholic Church was going to take over.
Yep.
I just, you know, it was just amazing for me to hear you say all of this tonight. I didn't listen to her, but I wanted to just all part of it.
Oh, well, praise the Lord that you were here to hear it tonight, and as well as many others. We're just about out of time. I want to thank everybody for listening and for calling in. The website's at www.remnantofgod.org. There'll be a rebroadcast of this show on Wednesdays at 1 o'clock Pacific time, 4 o'clock Eastern, and we'll be back again next Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern time. Thanks for listening.